Welcome to The Deuce. It is episode 5 of The Deuce. I'm Bradley.
I'm Jeremy.
And today we start a very special series. We are doing Deuce episodes of baseball movies, correct?
Yes.
And we have decided that we are going to start our Deuces off with the sequel to The Bad News Bears called The Bad News Bears in Breaking Training.
Yes.
And this movie, well, if you haven't seen the movie and you want to pause it, is streaming on iTunes for $2.99. Or I think Google Vudu. Yeah. We watched it on Amazon for $3.99, so we paid a buck more for that great William Devane acting.
It's all about the quality.
And so if you want to pause and go ahead and watch The Bad News Bears and Breaking Training, go right ahead. But if not, we are going to go ahead and we're going to drop the deuce.
Dropping the deuce.
Our story starts out in the ballpark, of course, where the team is gathering after. Well, I think it is about a year after the original movie. They have won. Because in the original movie, they didn't win. And I think a year later, they won, so they're the California champs. So they're gathering to the ballpark, and they are wondering who the coach is going to be, because Buttermaker, played by Walter Matthau in the first movie, is no longer going to be their coach. There's no explanation for it.
There's no explanation.
No explanation.
And the kids basically say, oh, man, wait till you see who the coach is. And somebody goes, Buttermaker? Worse. And then they start going on about it being
Mr. Manning, who I thought was the father from Give Me a Break, but I don't know. I'll have to check that one up. He is a mean old man. He's like that PE teacher that really makes the kids work for it.
Yeah, and he talks about, like, they talk about him throwing, like, a chair at a kid's face and, like, pushing someone in the pool or something like that.
Right, he's a mean old Mr. Manning, and he's there, and he's there to pretty much give some dialogue to what's going to happen in the movie. He says that since they are the California champs, that they are going to head to the Houston Astrodome to play a game, which the winning game will then go on to play in Japan. So it's like, to me, this is like Glee. It's like regionals and super regionals and super sectionals and super. It's like, what?
Yeah.
So they're playing this game that we find out later is sponsored by Budweiser.
Yeah,
which is great.
Which you don't. Yeah. Which they don't even bring that up till later.
Yeah.
Until like halfway into the movie.
Whatever. But the winning team is going to go to Japan. And the third movie, of course, is The Bad News Bears in Japan.
Spoiler alert.
Well, whatever. But in this movie, the hard-nosed coach or the drill sergeant then decides to write the word assume on the board to teach the kids that if you assume, you make an ass out of you and me, something we've all heard. I don't know if this is the first time that this has been used, so it's funny.
I can't imagine it was.
I can't imagine it was either.
I think it's supposed to be like the tired old rhetoric of their poor man's George C. Scott gym teacher.
Then he writes discipline on the board. He's like, I'm like, are you going to teach him how to play baseball or teach him vocabulary words? I don't quite know what's going on. Then we get the larger kid.
Engelberg.
Yeah. That's his name. Engelberg. And he says, what are you, Hitler?
Yeah, he calls the coach Hitler.
Yes.
So it's not just starting on Facebook. It's been there forever. Like, your inclination is to call someone Hitler.
Yeah. Once they're making you do something that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
They are immediately Hitler.
Obviously Hitler.
He says, what's your name? And he says, my name is Elton. What's your last name, Elton? And he says, John. And the coach doesn't get the joke.
Yeah.
He's like, get out of here, Elton John.
And in all seriousness, because I never remember any of their names because I very seldomly see the first one. I was writing and I went, Elton is blah, blah, blah. And he goes, John. And I went, Elton John. So I also fell for it.
You
me and the teacher
You're like, wow, they named it like Michael Bolton.
Yeah.
In like Office Space.
Yeah, you can call me Mike. It's okay.
No. How many times have you seen the first one?
Not very. I saw it a long, long time ago because there was a kid. I'd have to look up which one it is, but one of the kids in the movie, in the first one at least, his mom worked at a truck stop diner.
Okay.
With my grandma.
Oh, like in real life?
Yeah.
Really?
And she was just like, this is so and so's mom. I don't know. That's why I said I have to look it up.
The kid with like long blonde hair?
Probably.
Or the kid with glasses?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
She goes,
all these kids look the same.
Her son was in Bad News Bears, and I was like, okay, what's with Bad News Bears? Like, I didn't know what it was. It was the 80s.
Yeah, right.
Early 80s, and I was like, And so we found it, and I watched it.
Okay.
And I've seen it since then, but not very much. So
yeah,
like a lot of this
whatever.
Is unfamiliar to me.
I've seen it over and over again.
Yes.
Yeah. I love the movie. It's crazy. So I love it so much. So the kid that played Engelberg in this movie is a different actor kid than the original movie, because the original movie, the kid lost weight.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm not going to.
Yeah, I don't remember him being as bad of an actor as the kid in this movie.
No, he was actually a better actor.
Oh, okay, good.
One. Yeah. No. He was pretty good. So the only person that we haven't seen so far on the team, because the original team is there, we haven't seen Kelly Leak. Leaks or Leak.
Jackie Earle Haley.
Yes, Jackie. What's his name?
Jackie Earle Haley.
Yeah, Jackie Earle Haley. And he comes in, he's like, who's this guy? And he's on his motorcycle that he's always in. Hey, you get off that motorcycle. And he starts revving it, like, brum, brum.
Well, I don't think he was going to play. I thought he was going to stay away.
I think he was staying away.
But he saw that the coach booted Engelberg from the team. He's like, he kicked me off the team.
Right.
At which point, Kelly challenges the coach by popping wheelies and driving in circles.
Right. And then all the kids, like, leave, and then the coach is like, you'll need a coach to get to Houston, right?
Well, and he tells the coach that he's fired, and the coach is like, well, a kid fired me by law of gym teachers, I guess.
Right,
I have to
move on. Can't you just be like, I'm your coach, you're not going to Houston? And wouldn't you call all the parents up? I mean, I don't know, that when I was in T-ball, whatever the hell I was in, we all knew each other, all the schools knew each other, but that's beside the point. So the next scene is that they go to the Looper's house, and actually he's in a cast. Something happened to him.
He busted his leg skateboarding.
Yeah, he busted his leg skateboarding. At first I thought it was a different kid, but it's not a different kid. He's just grown up, because these kids have grown up. Except for Tanner, I swear. He hasn't grown an inch.
I thought maybe Lupus had lupus.
Lupus probably did have lupus. That's why he was in the bed. So, but in the process, Tanner and Lupus are pretty much best friends.
Yeah.
But in the first movie, they really weren't.
Yeah.
And then they kind of gradually, like, I like that they kind of gradually became good friends.
Well,
so.
Yeah.
And throughout this movie, like, Tanner's writing him postcards.
Yeah.
Like, I call it the postcards from the edge.
They're like
and they're like interludes.
Yeah, they're like postcards from like a Ken Burns documentary.
Right.
Dearest Looper.
But they're told from a racist kid.
Yeah.
Dearest Looper, we made it to the Houston Astrodome. So anyway, besides the coach, they actually also need a pitcher, because also Tatum O'Neal wasn't gonna do this picture at all. There's no way she was gonna do this picture. And when Tatum O'Neal's not going to do your picture, come on. So they decide, Kelly knows a guy named Cameron.
Carmen Ranzani.
Is it Carmen? Okay, so it's Carmen.
Carmen Ranzani.
Yeah, Carmen Ranzani. And he's played by Scott Baio's cousin, right?
Jimmy Baio. Yeah.
This is true. We're not making this up. It is Jimmy Baio, Scott Baio's brother.
And for those, we had to stop and look, because he's familiar to us. So
yes.
For those of you who are... No, really obscure TV things. He was on the evening comedy soap opera called Soap.
Soap.
Which I loved, go figure, growing up. And so, yeah, he played Billy on that. So
all you Jimmy Baio fans out there, which are one, Jimmy Baio. Anyway, Jimmy Baio comes in. He's got like a New York accent or a New Jersey accent.
Yeah.
At this point, I don't know where he's from. I mean,
yeah.
How he got to California, I have no clue. I said, I think he's like, remember that episode of Saved by the Bell when it was Jesse Spano's stepbrother and he's from like New York? Yeah, you don't remember that one?
No.
Oh, yeah. No, that's another podcast. But anyway, that's it's just Jesse Spano's brother. Oh, it's like stepbrother. Like she married, and he's only on like one episode.
I demand to
and
be.
He
on
has like a thick New York accent. And I'm thinking, oh look, it's like this character.
I demand to be on the Go Bayside podcast so we can watch that. It's the only way I'll watch that episode.
So they're like, Tanner gets mad because he's like, what? And he starts being racist.
And yeah, he goes through his laundry list of racist terms again.
Yeah, which we're not repeating it. They're pretty terrible.
Oh my God.
It happened more in the first movie.
Every time it happens, I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
It's really
it's
jarring.
Pretty bad, but it's kind of funny too in a weird way.
Yeah.
In the first one, it's really funny. In this one, it's kind of like, okay, we know the joke.
It's like, you know, like I think what to me is what's always jarring about it is these things aren't really that long ago.
No,
they're just
really
like,
not.
I know, all this stuff is cool to say in a movie. Let's make a 6-year-old say it.
I don't think he's 6 or 7. Well, regardless,
oh, he's
it
not
doesn't
six
matter.
Or seven. He's
but
way
I love that he says crud a lot. That's cruddy.
Yeah.
Cruddy. You're a cruddy pitcher.
Yeah, and then proceeds to call somebody every racial epithet in the book.
And then proceeds to be Bannon. From the Trump administration.
Little Steve Bannon.
It's terrible.
I don't know.
I think
how
he turns into Steve Bannon.
I don't know how somebody hasn't shanked this kid, honestly.
Oh my God. Jeez. Oh, God. This is cruddy, cruddy. So they decide that they need a coach, like a fake coach. So they decide to get the lawnmower guy.
Yeah, he's the guy who mows the lawns because he's like Forrest Gump.
He's like Lenny from Of Mice and Men. He's kind of slow.
Yeah.
Forrest Gump. So they scam the parents
into
like giving them money. Well, how much money do you need?
Yeah.
So they all scam the parents.
Now, I thought this part was actually interesting because it goes through all of their families and like seeing their diverse backgrounds because it's like you go through what's his name?
just saying blonde kid. Just say.
No, that's too many of them. Engelberg. And they go through Engelberg, and he's like, I only need $85. Like, as he eats, like, simultaneously eats 3 ears of corn, because fat jokes.
Yes.
And like, it goes through, like, the different families, and it goes to, like, Raheem's family, and he's like, you know, $15 ought to do it. And they're like,
oh, are you sure?
Are you sure that's enough? And then it goes to
25, I guess.
The two adorable little Latino brothers.
Latino guys.
Who go... $4.
$4
for both of us. And I was like, "Aww."
It was a pretty great
so
moment.
They're so cute. I love them.
They're adorable.
I can just watch them all.
Just put those two. Can we just have them?
Right. Like,
they're just
they
the
were
whole
in
baseball
that tiger
team.
Movie.
You don't need 8 men. Just have those two. Okay. So so they decide to get a van, and so this van pulls up, and the parents drop them off. It pretty much looks like the Scooby-Doo van before it's painted.
Well, and they teach the groundskeeper just to...
Right. Just a few phrases like,
hi, hello.
Yeah. I'm like, whatever. Okay. Got it. Got the joke. So all the parents are dropped off. Hello. Goodbye. And they all, like, pack in this van. And at this point, they remind me of the Muppets, when, like, the Muppets were traveling. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they just get into this van.
With the electric mayhem.
The electric mayhem. So they come to the conclusion that Kelly stole the van, and that cops are following them. Shortly, like, right after they leave, right?
Yeah. This is not... And it's like, they're like, where'd you get the van, Kelly?
Yeah, right.
And he goes... Well, Carmen got it. Jimmy Baio got it. And he goes, where'd Jimmy Baio get it? I know a guy. Because he's still
doing
that.
Hey, look, I'm in charge now.
He's still
I know
doing
a guy.
That same chachi kind of shtick.
Yeah,
and he's just like, I know a guy.
I know a
like,
guy.
Where'd he get it? He bought it from somebody else.
I got it from Buddy, from you know, Giles in Charge. Buddy gave it to me. Boom. No. Oh, yeah. So I actually call them Andrew Domino Clay because he's not quite a dice.
Andrew W. Andrew Dice Plato.
So So the cops are following them along, and they're like, oh no, we're freaking out. The cops are going to pull us over.
Some of those kids had more reason to be worried than others.
Right. That's true. I'll give you that. Mainly the $4 ones. Kelly decides, I'm going to pretend to be an adult by putting in a cigarette in his lips.
Of course.
Sunglasses and a hat.
Yeah.
So disguise.
It worked for Ferris Bueller.
Right. So he disguises himself and he's driving. Of course, the cop looks over and goes, you're an adult. No problem. So they don't pull him over. At this point, I call him the Kermit of the group. Because Kermit just, like, always did, like, those disguises where it's just like, So I can kind of compare them to all the Muppets. It was pretty great.
Yeah, but, I mean, but also, really, like, how stupid are you guys? Yeah. That they're just like, checks out.
Oh, yeah, that checks
out. Well, he's
out.
Got a hat. I've never seen a kid with a fedora.
Oh, yeah. A kid, so they're okay. A kid with a van with, like, or there's a guy in a van with 12 other kids. This seems legit. Mm-hmm. Nothing bad's happening.
No.
So they end up, there's just a lot of driving in the beginning of this movie. I mean, they're driving. Nothing's really happening.
Footloose and Fancy Free.
There is a song that keeps, like, the Bad News Bears theme
song. It's basically the 1812 overture with these ladies singing over it.
Yeah, but then, and it's like the ladies singing. Now, that was the theme song to the first movie. So I think they were trying to update it by putting in a trumpet and a saxophone.
Yeah.
And jazzy singers.
Jazzy.
And it's pretty annoying. It's like between scenes that they're traveling. I mean, this movie, for the first 40 minutes of it, is just them traveling down the road. I mean, they're just going to Houston. So they end up in their first hotel, and when they get there, they're just running around, their kids, you know, in a hotel room.
Well, and they basically, they decided they were going to pool their money together. Like, that was... Jimmy Baio was like, hey, everybody, pull your money together, and that'll be the treasurer, and he'll keep track of it for everybody. Ow! And so he, you know, was going through all this, telling them to put it together, and they said, we don't want you, Jimmy Baio. You seem like a grifter. And so they give it to Ogilvy. Ogilvy takes the money to go get a room.
Right.
And the hotel manager is like, wait, where are your parents? Yeah. Yeah. And like somebody, and Jackie Earl Haley wearing a hat is calling from the car.
Again.
Yeah, that seems like that's enough this and that. And
Kermit.
So
that seems legit.
Why aren't your parents like in here doing this? He goes, they got in a fire. Basically.
And they had plastic surgery. Their plastic surgery went bad.
And so, again, the dumbest adults.
Yeah. This movie is full of dumb adults.
Yes.
There's only one adult in this movie, which we will get to.
Yes.
Who has some sense.
Yes.
But everyone else is like batshit crazy. It's just crazy. So they're in the hotel, blah, blah. All of their pillow fights, whatever. Things are going crazy. They're jumping up and down. Carmen leaves. He goes to a gas station and comes back with Playboys for everyone. About three Playboys, throws them, divides them out individually, then sits down with a newspaper, which I thought was weird.
Yeah, that is kind of weird. I never thought about that.
Okay, he's probably, knowing him, he's got the Wall Street Journal.
Probably. That seems pretty far.
Looking at a Playboy.
That's more his
speed. I thought that was really weird and odd.
Yeah. Well, and so there's like this
Here's
little
boobs.
Bit
Here's boobs. I'm going to check my stacks.
There's this bit where like he tries to commandeer half the room. And Tanner was like, well, I'm not having this. I'm just going to yell racist things. And they kind of chase him off. He goes and buys some snacks. And then he's like, Playboys, or he grabs one Playboy.
Yeah, he does the whole trick.
And the guy goes, I can't sell this to you, you're not 21. He goes, how am I supposed to learn about it? I'm 12, and blah, blah, blah. And like basically says, like, it's important for me to do this. And the guy must go, get two more copies. Because all of a sudden he's got three.
You're right.
Boobs all around.
Boobs. You need to see that boob in 3D. Get two more of those things.
That is how 3D works. So look at three.
He's distributing them. They're looking at the nudie magazines. Kelly leaves to go smoke, and then looks at a picture of what we think is his dad, who's in this movie is played by William Devane. So then he walks back in, and they're watching an old sports movie. Go ahead. And
real quick, let me jump in too. There's this bit where, because earlier, Engelberg's on the phone.
Oh, yeah,
ordering
yeah.
chicken. And so when everybody's going nuts, and they accidentally, like, bump open the door to the bathroom, and he's sitting on the toilet with his pants around his ankles and the bucket of chicken in his lap.
Yeah.
And at this point, I don't know if he's having sex with the bucket of chicken or if he's just eating it on the toilet.
Loves
it.
He loves that chicken. But he's probably in there choking his chicken. Or choking on chicken.
Probably first one than the other. but I'm just like, really? You had him on the toilet with a bucket of chicken?
Right.
You people are ridiculous with this.
Yeah, it gets... See, they weren't like that in the first movie. That's what is frustrating. Like, there's parts of this movie that are okay. And there's parts of it that I'm like... Like, this first part of this movie, I'm like, oh, jeez. So they're watching it. So the Kelly walks back in. They're watching an old sports movie, the one Win One for the Gipper movie. I don't know what that movie is called. What's that movie called?
God, what is it called?
It's called Win One for the
Longest
Gipper.
Yard.
I don't know. I don't think so. It reminded me of what a good sports movie is. So there's that. Go ahead. What were you gonna say?
No. Go ahead.
Okay. So the next morning, all the kids are lined up to call home to make sure the whole scam plan is going fine, to let the parents know that they're okay. Then they get back in the van, and they're on the road to Houston to play the Astrodome, where they pick up a Sarah Michelle Gellar kind of hitchhiker. I think I call her Sarah Michelle Skeller. Because she's kind of scary looking. They're like, ooh, let's pick her up. And then she opens the doors, and she's like, ooh, no, thank you. There's a bunch of kids. Did you figure out the movie?
Newt Rockne, All-American.
Oh, Newt Rockne. Yeah. I know someone's probably yelling at us right now, like, what? Sure. You don't know that?
I don't know why I can never remember the name of that one.
It's fine. Win One for the Gipper.
Yeah.
That's what I call it.
The musical.
So it's about 30 minutes into this movie, and no one has touched a baseball.
Yeah. But that,
no one.
So that hitchhiking girl,
yeah,
she is running up to the van, which seems like a bad idea.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yes. And then the doors pop open, and it's filled with males.
No, not boys.
Boys, but they're males, sure. Regardless of what.
Right, and they just saw a bunch of boobs in a Playboy magazine.
Yeah.
So they're like,
so
ooh.
She probably made the wise choice, and she is like, no, pass. Just like starts leaving. But the thing that freaked me out was, then she's like running away, and they're backing up at her at full speed.
Yeah, that was weird.
I'm pretty sure that there was something bad that happened between steer and there.
Maybe. I don't know. So Engelberg has to take another bathroom. I think it's where he takes 5 bathroom breaks.
Right, because he eats all the time.
So they're at a bathroom break, and they see like a bunch of kids that are baseball players too, so they challenge them to a baseball game. So finally, we get some baseball in this movie. And I think at this point, I think Tanner looked at them and was like, great, we got to play these guys.
Well, yeah, because they're Native American.
Right.
And he was, I think, and
Trump delegate himself, Tanner.
Yeah.
I'm like, great.
Yeah, it's just every time I see somebody new come on screen, I'm like, oh God, no, Tanner, please don't say anything.
So the whole team gets together to do the baseball game, and we find out that Jimmy is actually a terrible pitcher.
Yeah, I put turns out just like a true Bayo, his skills have been greatly exaggerated, and he really just makes things worse.
Now, it's funny that you say that, because actually, this is the only time I actually like Jimmy Bayo in the scene. He actually plays it pretty well.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I just need to warm up. Oh, man, they found me out that I'm not really a good pitcher. I think Jimmy, he just wanted to join the team. You know?
Yeah.
He just wanted something to do. So they're playing by a graveyard or whatever.
I think they're I think they're on a reservation.
Are they on a reservation? Yeah. That makes sense. Well, yeah. And, yeah. So they lose that baseball game, like, bad, like 15-0.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Tanner writes another postcard or whatever in between that. Postcards from Tanner. Another interlude. And then they finally make it to Houston, right?
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Well, before they get there themselves, we cut to a practice field against some kids, I think the Toros.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they show them first, and they we cut to the Toros. And we thought it was their coach is making them do jumping jacks.
Yes.
And he starts talking to this guy who we thought was, because it's Texas, so we thought he was some sort of oil tycoon or possibly like a used car salesman.
A used car salesman.
And so we'll find out in a second who he is.
Did you see his henchman behind him? He looked like Elwood Blue.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, what?
Yeah,
what
we weren't quite sure what this was.
Actually, at the beginning, I didn't think they were Toros. I saw the T, so I'm like, oh, no, they're Tigers. He's like, no.
So we learned that they are setting up this exhibition game between these kids and the Bad News Bears.
The Bad News Bears.
And so that's what he's set up this exhibition game, and he's like, they better get here.
Yeah, it's noon. They haven't got here.
Yeah, and they were due there at like 8.
Yeah.
It's like 10 a.m. or whatever at that point. Mm-hmm. They still haven't been there.
Get the El Paso team.
Yeah, so the coach says, go get the El Paso team. He'll never know the difference.
So the Bears are finally pulling into Houston, and Jackie Earle Haley looks like he hasn't slept in like 5 days. But I think it's not because he is tired, because he's been dry. He's the only one that's been driving. I think he's trying to avoid Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, that's probably the same bet.
Yes. We'll throw back there. There you go. If you were a Jackie Earle Haley fan.
Right.
Wasn't he? Didn't he do the...
Yeah, he was in the remake.
Yes. I did a horror joke. Yes. I'm just proud of myself on that one. So they finally get there and they decide to go to a Hotel Conrad, and they park in a no parking zone.
Yes, of course.
Right. So two cops come up to the hotel and they decide to go up to the hotel area.
It looks like a Zamboni shows up behind it, and then they're like, hey, I can't ice this area.
So the cops come up to the hotel clerk, who looks like Octavia Spencer, by the way.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
No, she looked like Octavia Spencer.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, I'm just saying, you know, whatever. The cops, and she says, they ask her who the van is. And she's like, I don't know, a bunch of midgets who are like ball players, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't have a problem with the midgets.
With the little people. They're good people, yeah.
Little people are good people, she says. And the police, they open the door, and they're like, oh, no, it's a bunch of kids.
Because the kids are sleeping in a heap.
Yeah, in a heap. Like, just everywhere. And actually, when they opened the door, it looked like there was 70 kids in that.
Yeah, I think there was other kids, too.
I was like, what? I think your team grew. And so the police decide to get them all together, wake them up, and then there's a detective guy who starts questioning them, hey, how'd you get here? Whose van is that? Who's your coach? Right.
Yeah.
And Kelly says, I will go get him. And everyone's looking at him like, what? What's he talking about?
Well, the other kids loudly begin whispering in front of the cops, where's he going? Right. What's he gonna do? I think you gave it away when you started saying that in front of the person. He probably is, he's a detective, so I would assume he knows. But again, right. Stupid adults.
Yes, stupid adults. So Kelly calls up, or Kelly goes to his dad's work, which he just, like, his dad's been working there for, like, what?
How do you know that?
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. I was like, first of all, how do you know that? How long has it been since you've seen your dad, which later on we find out is, what,
eight years?
And so I'm like, how did you know? Like, has he just always worked there?
No, because he just said, I have this job now. I work here full time now.
I know. So, like, how did you know?
Yeah.
Whatever. Unless his mom told him, like, they kept in contact or what. I didn't know how he knew.
Yeah, that's a good question.
But it's been 45 minutes, and we haven't seen his dad except in a picture. And finally, we meet William Devane.
Yes.
Who plays Mike Leakes, his dad. He's pretty much the Willy Wonka of this. We've been waiting this whole time for him, and there he is.
Yeah.
Comes out.
We finally get through all the nonsense, just moments before where... just moments before Engelberg yells, "When's lunch?" in cheap, fat joke fashion. And then we come up to this William Devane moment, which is great.
Yeah, finally some
William
good acting.
Devane and Jackie Earle Haley on the screen together is like gold.
It really is.
Yeah.
Like, they really are pretty good together. And I was like, finally, I know what acting is.
Yeah, young Jackie Earle Haley.
Yeah.
Like, you get a lot of, like, young kids where you're like, they're
He's really good in
their
the
own.
First one, too.
God, he's
but this
so
one,
good.
Yeah, I really think he's really good in this one, too. And he says, hey, we need... Well, like, his... girlfriend shows up with his car or whatever and says, hey, come on, Mike, you promised me a night out on the town or whatever.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
He's like, hey, this is my kid from California. And she goes, okay, cool, nice to meet you.
Cool,
all right, let's go.
Yeah.
Okay, blah, 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 whatever. I don't care.
And so he says, we actually need a coach. I'm here for a baseball game. We're going to play, the Astrodome. He tells them all this, but we need a coach. We're in trouble. So he explains it, and they return back to the hotel, where he pretty much gets them off the hook and says, hey, don't worry about this. We'll take care of it. So he makes everything copacetic. And the next day, it's time for practice time. And pretty much the Bears forget everything that they've learned. I was like, this thing doesn't make sense to me. They're dropping the ball. They're making the ball go through their legs. I was like, did they forget everything that Buttermaker taught them?
Apparently so.
In the first movie?
Well, okay, so Carmen.
I mean, they won. They're champions.
Well, and Carmen, I mean, he's new to it.
Right,
but
Carmen.
But Carmen, it's like he thinks the secret to pitching a ball is making duck face. Like, selfie duck faces, because he just keeps doing that before he throws the ball.
And then, they forgot, William Devane, they're like, oh, we don't need a coach, you just sit over there. So
yeah.
William Devane reads the newspaper, which I thought this was funny. He opens the newspaper up, and it says, California champs arrive. And he looks up, and he looks at them, and they're, of course, all fighting, like the typical Bad News Bears scene, and they're all fighting. So then Mike says, I'll tell you what. Are you guys done? I'll take you out to lunch. Because that's how you train kids. You just go take them out to lunch.
Yeah.
I was like, great.
In all fairness, they pool their money together, and they didn't have that much to begin with. So I'm not sure when the last time they ate is. So it might be good.
So they eat, and then they decide to go to meet up with the other team.
They finally go after, being late, 6 hours.
Yeah.
They finally go to their practice that they were supposed to go to. And they're surprised that they got in an alternate team. Like, you were super, super late.
But the big tycoon guy is all, thinks it's the Bears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Dave shows up because they see they got an alternate team.
Mm-hmm.
Dave goes up and starts talking to the tycoon and is like, no. That's the California team.
You mean Mike, not Dave.
Mike. What did I say?
You said Dave. His name is Mike.
Why do I keep doing that?
I don't know. Your dad's name's Dave, and maybe this is hitting really close to home.
Oh, it's so... I need to take a Rorschach
test. Did you have a blue bicycle, too, when you were younger?
I had a red bicycle.
Oh, see? Did your dad buy it for you? We'll get to that soon. So, we're getting ahead of ourselves, folks. So... So he says, hey, no, those aren't the Bears. These are the Bears. And they're like, what? And so they, talk to the coach and says, hi, you said these were the Bears. So he says, this is the team I want. This is a good story. These guys, we got to play these guys. And he actually says, what would you say if Budweiser, because he works for Budweiser, by the way. He's a big smokes guy for Budweiser.
Yeah.
What would you say if Budweiser was going to put up all you in a hotel personally, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know that you're a drunk. That this is sponsored by Budweiser.
That I'm oddly not comfortable with this.
That it's a kids' sports event sponsored by an alcoholic drink.
Does that still happen?
I'm like, no. I guess, maybe. At this point, Kelly is not happy. Everyone's kind of getting along with Mike, but of course we see that Kelly and Mike are estranged father and son. The next scene is that they are at another practice that Mike is facilitating. He says, think, as they're doing jumping jacks.
Yeah.
So he's using the think system, like in The Music Man. So that worked really well for Robert Preston in The Music Man. So why wouldn't you do it here?
Right.
So one by one, the coach teaches the kids pretty much how to do everything again. Catch, throw. And it looks like William Devane is really having a fun time. Like, as an actor, he looks like he's having fun throwing the ball around with his kids, throwing it under his legs.
Yeah.
And he's just, I really like this scene as far as William Devane is playing it.
Yeah, and he does a really good job. He does a really good job. He's a baseball badass on this.
Like, I'm like, who are you? Like,
yeah.
Okay. And Mike and Kelly decide to have a talk at that point because Kelly's not having any of this. He's smoking cigarettes on the field and Mike doesn't like it. Kelly runs away and ends up in combats with the Toros. And the Toros call him a bundle of sticks about 4 or 5 times.
Yes.
They use the F word. And I actually like Jackie Earle Haley in this scene, too. Because it looks like he's going to fight him.
Yeah.
And then he kind of, like, restrains himself.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really good.
Yeah, until they call his dad.
No, even that. He kind of hits him, but then he, like, doesn't go full force.
Yes, agreed.
So I thought that was pretty good.
And in this time, too, by the way, Mike has taught Chachi's cousin
to throw.
The trick is aim.
Right.
And he magically can throw these crazy pitches now. Yeah.
The trick is to act or aim, which Scott Baio hasn't aimed for years, at least not into getting any good roles, just on Twitter. Anyway, that's beside the point. Me and my anger towards Scott Baio.
Ooh.
Oh, Scott Baio, I got you.
So
go ahead.
But I was going to talk about the interviews then.
Right. That's what I was going to. Go ahead. This is funny.
So they go into the all the kids are sitting in the room and they're waiting and they're wondering where Kelly is because he hasn't come back yet.
Right.
He
Kelly's ran away.
He kind of did this like the angry like Footloose dance off kind of thing where he just kind of danced into the sunset. punching the air, and the kids are watching their interview on TV, and they said, okay, you know, they show Raheem's part where he's talking about, I think we're doing really good, we're really going to do well in the game, and so on and so forth. And like, okay, Jimmy Baio's like, I'm up next, this is, okay, I'm next, my interview's next. And instead, they cut to Miguel, who she asks him a question, and he just stands there silently staring, which is adorable. Because then they, you know, they're like, yay, look at you. And he's kind of giggling. And Jimmy's like, what? They cut me out? What's going on? Jimmy Baio, you know, he's mad about this.
Jimmy Baio.
And all I could think of was, how bad was your interview that they were like, we could put Carmen here, or we could put the kid who doesn't speak.
I'll
put the kid who doesn't talk. That'll fill the time.
Oh, Jimmy Baio, you Newsy reject. It's like these kids, like, I haven't seen so many kids like this since Newsies. Like, me not telling them apart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, when I watch Newsies, I'm like, oh, yeah, Patch Kid.
Well, yeah.
And that kid.
The kid with the curly blonde hair looks like Crutchy.
Right. I'm just like.
I was like, is that Crutchy? No.
So, anyway, Mike then finds Kelly at a pool hall. Just magically finds him. I don't know if he's just going through pool hall to pool hall because he knows Kelly likes to hang out at pool halls because he knows all this.
Maybe he stopped there and that's where they told him where he worked. Maybe that's what we can see.
So Kelly finds him and they have a heart to heart and he says, "Are you angry at me for something?" And he says, "You didn't recognize me after 8 years." Well, yeah, after 8 years, you haven't recognized your son? Probably not. I mean, it's been 8 years, right?
Yeah.
And he says, "When you left, you gave me a blue bicycle. I was 5 years old, and that blue bicycle has not been touched since." And I'm like, holy shit, this has all been about a blue bicycle? That's why you're upset?
It's true.
That's kind of like, I know there's some other undertones to it, but they really don't get into it.
He looked at it like, that was the last thing you gave me before you left.
Right.
And you tried to buy me off with it.
Right.
But I didn't accept that. I refused to accept that. And so you just left open ended.
Yeah, but they didn't really tell us why he left.
No, but it's really not from the kid's standpoint. Is it important?
I don't. For me, it is.
Well, it is for you. That's because we're adults. But, you know, from a young child who's, you know, seven, it really doesn't matter. His dad just left.
Whatever. So it's the next day, and it's the day of the big game.
Yeah.
And Kelly is missing, and we can't win if we don't have Kelly, they say. And they say, yeah, you can win. Don't worry. And he says, my favorite is like this, is that Tanner has this big speech where he's like, "We got to win one for the Looper." And everyone cheers, but not because of his speech, because Kelly just walked in right after him. I'm like, great.
But then just like in the movie, they go, "Yeah, come on, what are we waiting for?" And get up and like start running out.
We're newsies, let's go. Like, I'm just like, whatever. So it's the big game. They're going to play four innings.
Yes.
It's kind of like, I think they're playing this before an Astros game.
Yeah, it's like a mini game before the Astros are supposed to get there.
It's a sold out show.
Yeah.
And all the dumb adults that we met throughout the whole show.
Yeah, like the detective and the Budweiser guy. Everybody surrounded by hookers.
Yeah, they look like they have one woman on each side of them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell? So the dumb people are there. It's the first inning, and Tanner strikes out, and it's pretty much 2-0 in the first inning.
Right.
Not a lot's really happening. They're showing that the Toros are a pretty good team, and that the Bears kind of need warmed up and everything. Second inning happens, and Kelly makes a base hit, so we finally have a guy on the bases. But obviously three outs before that, the Toros hit three more runs in. So now it's 5-0.
Well, and at some point Engelberg throws the ball and nails one of the kids in the leg.
Yeah.
Tanner, I think he hits in the leg.
Oh yeah. Tanner.
Because in all this, he was teaching all of them to throw and aim and all this, and the one person they forgot to teach how to throw was Engelberg.
Right.
So he nails Tanner in the leg, but Tanner walks it off like a champ without yelling any kind of racial anything. It was very good of him.
Right. Right. And he learned.
And before you go any further, too, like, I just had to point out, like, are the Toros in college?
Yeah.
They're like 25 and they're like 6'4".
I think there was that one, like, remember like the Little League World Series where one of the kids was like 27 or something?
Yeah.
And they're like,
but it's foggy. We don't know what his
birth certificate. And he had like a big mustache and like no one knew.
And his kids were on the sideline.
Yeah, and his kids were on the sideline and they probably could have been on the team because they were that old. They're like, I can play. That's what it reminded me of. Like, these kids are like tall.
Yeah,
and then you got the Bears who are like 2 inches tall,
including the one adorable boy who goes, "I'm gonna hit this time." He's my favorite.
And so, it's the top of the third inning, and they call off the whole game. Yeah. Right? They're like, "This team's taking too long. Let's call it off." And they're like, "What? No, we can't call it off." And Tanner decides that he refuses to leave the field.
Yeah.
And he starts running around, throwing the two guys are chasing him. Everyone's laughing. Ha ha ha, look at the kid. You know, they're all drunk with their hookers and they're all ha ha. and Tanner's just running around. And at that point, the Houston Astro team is up, and they're like, hey, let these kids play.
They're like, yeah, it's like two more innings, guys.
Yeah, there's two innings, and they're like halfway through. And they're like, let those kids play. And so William Devane's character is like, yeah, I got a brilliant idea. I'm going to start the chant, let them play, let them play. So that's actually where this comes from. It comes from this movie where they say, let them play, let them play. So if you ever hear that, like at a sporting event or whatnot, it actually comes from the second Bad News Bears movie. So they decide to let them play after, you know, the whole crowd goes in and starts cheering.
Because who knew that renting the Astrodome for only 30 minutes wouldn't take care of it all.
Right. Right. So it's the third inning, and I forgot the kid's name because it sounds so terrible, but the African-American kid.
Raheem?
Yeah. He gets on base, and then he's all like, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Look at me. I'm on base number 3. And I'm like, my God, Nipsey Russell is one of the Bad News Bears. That's great. So it's the third inning, and it's 5-2, and now it's the fourth inning, and we have this event where all the bases are loaded.
Well, they scored two runs.
Yeah,
in
they
that
scored
inning.
Two runs on the third inning.
And I think like Jimmy, who is one of the kids, he's got blonde curly hair, and who looks like Harpo Marx.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they actually comment.
Yeah.
Hey, look, we got one of the Marx brothers up here. He is actually one of the Marx brothers you were telling me.
Yeah, no, he's one of the grandsons.
One of the grandsons. He was Gummo Marx's grandson.
Right. Right. And so the fourth inning, and Kelly comes up. He has a base hit. One of the kids gets walked. So basically the bases are loaded. I mean, it's not really that wonderful of action. I mean, it's kids' baseball. Yeah. It is what it is. But it's thrilling for the kids themselves. I mean, they're playing in the Astrodome. So the bases are loaded. And who comes up for the tying run but Jimmy Baio, right?
Yep.
Jimmy Baio knocks it out for, like, a double. And, like a kind of a double. And then, like, the Toros can't grab the ball.
He hits it to the outfield.
Yeah, the outfield.
But then all of a sudden, these, like, 27-year-old Toros who have been playing like crazy.
Yeah.
They all of a sudden are like, whoop, and just bobbling the ball everywhere. And then, so they start running in.
Right.
And now instead of being able to, they throw it to third base to get the last, or to get an out.
Mm-hmm.
And they way overthrow it. It's like they just all of a sudden forgot how to play in the last 20 seconds.
Amazingly enough. So, They score, they win the whole game, so they're going to Japan, and everyone goes crazy, yes. And there's a scene where the kids are running back, and Kelly turns to his dad, and his dad says, good game. He says, thanks. Yeah, I couldn't have done it without you. And at that point, I'm like, oh, that's all they needed was to win a baseball game and bring their father-son.
Well,
All I wanted is the last scene of this movie is to Kelly to go back home and ride the shit out of that blue bike. I just wanted him to ride that everywhere.
Well, he rode his dirt bike.
But he rode his dirt bike.
And he saw the Forrest Gump guy.
And he waves at him, and the guy waves, and then it's credits. And it's that damn song again. The Bad News Bears song. And that's the end of the movie. So you've been Deuce with Bad News Bears and Breaking Training.
I'm sorry. And I got to ask, too.
Okay.
So, to me, this isn't like summer camp, right? Like, they dropped... The parents were all like, how much money do you need? Drop the kids off? Your kids are playing at the effing Astrodome. Like, nobody's parents went to that.
Yeah, that's true.
Nobody's parents went to it. Nobody's parents were like, ooh, I'm going to go on the trip to see you on this special, you know, engagement. Nobody did any of that. They were just like, peace out. I don't care.
To be fair, I don't think that the parents ever went to any of the games anyway. They didn't really care. If I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I'm like, whatever.
It's the Astrodome.
Well, that's what we thought of the movie, but let's hear what other people thought about the movie.
All right. So, you know, just as always, we have a few people who wanted to weigh in here. So I'm going to look at the first one. This is by Merkel Kranz, who gave it a 3 out of 10.
Ooh.
Who said Devane and Sweet are the only reasons to sit through this. So Dolph Sweet as the Bears' overbearing coach and William Devane as his reluctant replacement are the only reasons to sit through this. Otherwise, what you get is a predictable bore of a baseball film that is strictly adolescent material and definitely by the book. The will he or won't he play scenario seems pretty stale, and the father-son relationship tension doesn't work either. Devane is really wasted, essentially playing a one-dimensional character that is very forgettable.
Well, first of all, that coach was in for 2 seconds in the movie.
This is such a dumb review. Most attempts at humor fail miserably, and even the big game is weak. This is probably a sequel that never should have been made. Billy Bob Thornton's abrasive character in the Bad News Bears remake seems like Oscar material compared to the Bad News Bears in Breaking Training. Oh my God!
I disagree. This is not a this is not that terrible of a movie. I don't think it's great. Again, but I don't think it's not that. I don't think it's that bad.
No, William Devane
deserves something.
Yes, and the kids really are not that bad. Right. I think out of the kids, the worst one is the kid who replaced Engelberg because he was trying to. And I'm not sure I fault him for that. It's like he was trying to do an impression of the first kid.
Look, even Jimmy Baio is not terrible. He has some scenes that I'm like,
I mean, I'm good. But there are some people who love this. As an example, Rob Hawley in 2002 says, however, the real star of the show is Chris Barnes as Tanner Boyle. These have both just, to me, have gone out to left field.
Well, you know, hey.
So, call me crazy. Okay. But this is my favorite movie of the Bad News Bears movie series. The story of the Bears traveling from California to Texas for a game at the Astrodome sans parental supervision might be far-fetched for some to swallow. Unless you're a stupid adult.
Oh, Jesus.
But overall, the charismatic leads of Jackie Earle Haley and William Devane make it all work.
Well, I agree.
Yeah. However, the real star of the show is Chris Barnes as Tanner Boyle. Whatever happened to you, Chris, I don't know. But your portrayal of Tanner has always made me and my friends rolling on the living room floor for decades.
What? What happened to him? He became a Trump delegate.
Yeah. Great to see on DVD. Too bad Paramount couldn't even see fit to include even a lousy trailer.
What?
Oh, well, it's good to have the Bears back. Oh, Rob, you might be a racist. I know.
Rob, I think you're not only are you like, oh, there wasn't a trailer. How dare you? Wow. Look it on YouTube.
Yeah,
like,
man.
Who cares?
Give it the time. Well, it was 2002.
Oh, yeah.
It was a different world then.
Well, that's crazy.
So that's what other people think. So I think it's time for us to talk about
our five questions.
Yeah,
our five questions. Go on.
Yeah. Okay, so the first question that we have is, what did you think was the best part of the movie?
There's a couple scenes. I think, of course, William Devane brings his – he's William Devane. He's an accomplished actor. He's done multiple things. He's not terrible in this movie.
Right.
Not like that one review you said.
No.
He actually brings the movie up a par. Like, he brings it up a notch.
Yeah.
Once he finally enters the screen. Jackie Earle Haley is really good. I think that kid has had good instincts back then about inner dialogue.
Yeah.
And how to get that, which is then, you know, brought it forward into other movies that he's done. I mean, he's Academy Award nominee.
Yeah.
Like, later on, so that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Even, like I said, Jimmy Baio had its moments. I think even Tanner is decent in this movie. You know, the kid, I mean, he's racist, don't get me wrong, but he plays it pretty good. He plays it cruddy good!
Yeah.
You?
You know, I think that William Devane and Jackie Earle Haley, to me, like...
Yeah,
I mean, it's kind of like the fun, kind of cheesy stuff that you'd expect from a movie like this, or like from The Muppets, you know, where they're just kind of road traveling or whatever.
Right.
But it's like these asides that you get with Jackie Earle Haley and William Devane that are just to me are more powerful than the rest
of
them.
They are. I wanted a little bit more background, though.
But I kind of like that they don't say everything, because it really is not important. Like, we're looking at a section of the here and now, and I want to see how they're reacting now. Like, I don't need to know the backstory, because I don't want to know whether Jackie Earle Haley is off base or if Lynn Devane is
like,
off base.
Who is it?
It doesn't matter. This is where the tension is right now, and that's all we need to know.
What if that was a Schwinn bike? He gave his son a Schwinn bike.
He gave him a Huffy with tassels.
With a basket. It was a banana seat.
It had those neon slidey things on the spokes.
Oh, I loved those things. I had those.
I know. I painted.
Oh, that's crazy. Anyway,
okay, so. Reboot, continue, or cancel?
Well, they already rebooted it. But
did they?
Oh, yeah, they did.
Well, because I was going to say, if they haven't rebooted, they definitely shouldn't. And
I don't
it
think
also
they should
not have Billy Bob Thornton in it, for sure.
Should they? No. It's something that is a time capsule. It's very 70s.
Yeah.
Like, there's stuff that they got away with because it was the 70s that make it kind of weirdly charming, especially the first movie and part of this movie. So no, they should not have done that. Flat out, they shouldn't have. Why they did, I don't know, but they did. And
yeah.
So they should have canceled it. They should have not rebooted it. I don't know why.
Well, I'm glad
School
that
they Rock guy, what's his face, directed it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Academy Award, but go ahead.
Yeah. God, why can't I remember that either?
The Boyhood director.
Yeah. But I guess I'm glad they went on to the third one, because I feel like, and this kind of ties into my next piece, I feel like it's part of the story that it's not done yet. The story isn't done. Like, sometimes.
Yeah, I don't feel like the story was done.
Sometimes after like a sequel, like, I'm like, you know what? I could leave it here and still be okay. Like, after you get through with the sequel, you're like, if we're done here, I'd be all right with it. Like,
yeah.
Like Short Circuit 2, I wasn't like, you know, I guess I'm not. There's so many unanswered questions.
Right.
Although I wouldn't, like I said before, I'd like another Short Circuit, but like, it stopped at 2, and I'm okay with it stopping at 2. It was good where it stopped.
We needed to see Tanner. We needed to hear him say Jap a bunch of times.
Yeah, which I'm sure he does.
I don't know. I've never seen the third one.
Or they're like, are you going to call him that, Tanner? And he goes, hey. Have some respect for their culture. Like, he just suddenly
like
is,
that's where he draws the line.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with
I'm
you.
I'm glad, like, it continued, but like, I also am glad it didn't have like Bad News Bears 13.
Or it didn't turn into like a TV series. You know what I
mean? I thought they did have a TV series.
Did they have a Bad News Bears TV series?
I thought they did.
Really?
Maybe I'm wrong, but
I don't think they should have.
We'll have to check into that.
I don't know.
Okay, so do you think this stands on its own?
As a road movie? No. No. Here's what I say. I say the last 45 minutes stands on its own. The first 45 minutes does not stand on its own.
I would agree.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree.
Anything that William Devane is in stands on its own.
Yeah.
Like, it becomes that father-son kind of thing.
I would agree.
Anything on the road, I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. And I said no, because, A, you kind of have to know the backstory. And then also, this movie seems really incomplete.
Yeah.
Like, it seems incomplete without the third. And so, like, this is a rare one for me. So I'm not saying that it doesn't just stand on its own because you have to know the first one, but I think it doesn't stand on its own because you need the third to finish the story.
Or you need something else there. I think it ended very just ended. And I think I don't like the way this movie ended.
Yeah.
It felt like it just was like on like a bad, not a bad note, but like an empty note. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Nope. I agree.
Go ahead.
Let's see here. Does it make you want to watch the first movie?
Yes, because I love that movie, but that's just me.
Yeah.
It makes me want to watch it because I kind of miss Walter Matthau, though, in this. I think that although William Devane does a good job in this, it's just so, like, I love that first movie so much. And it does, like, these kids make me want to watch the first movie again.
Yeah.
Except Engelberg, because he's not really in the first movie.
Oh, Engelberg.
But, like, yeah. What's that?
It's an Engelberg.
Yeah. But all the other kids actually do make me want to watch the first movie over again. You?
Yeah. You know, I think that I really want to see, like, the unadulterated, like, the first part of it again, where it wasn't like the, hey, that was a good joke from the first one, let's just recap that.
Yeah. Know? Like, it works better, and, like, all that does work better in the first one. Even the Tanner stuff works really good. It's funny.
Yep.
Because it's coming from the small kid.
And then two words that sum it up. My two words are stupid adults, because this movie is, the plot is entirely moved forward by stupid adults. Like, I've said it time again, two hotels, a restaurant, I think, all the parents, even in the Superdome or in the Astrodome, mm-hmm. when they're like, they're in the Astrodome and he's like, let them play. Mm-hmm. And they start chanting, and like the people weren't just like, yeah, let them play. Like, they show the Budweiser guy's like, let them play, and it's like cigars falling out of his mouth, and he looks like he's frenzied. That's and crazy. It's like they were just so, it's like, it's just run by dumb people.
I guess mine is like fluffy baseball. Like, it's just, it's kind of not quite there. It's just very kind of lackluster in the baseball. Like, even the first movie has, oh my god, that first movie has so many. It almost becomes a drama and a comedy at the same time. It's just really good.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. Just fluffy baseball, I guess.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't know. That's,
yeah, I'll give you that.
You know, T-ball, maybe. I don't know. Like, I feel like that was the major leagues, and this is kind of like the minor leagues in a way.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So maybe minor leagues.
Minor leagues?
Yeah. Okay. I'll go with minor leagues instead of fluffy baseball. Or Nerf.
Which is what minor leagues were originally called. The fluffy leagues.
The fluffy baseball leagues. So overall, this is an okay movie.
Yeah.
It's a decent follow-up to the first movie. It doesn't quite hit the marks, and I think it's missing some components. But
yeah,
it's a fine movie. I would say watch it if... I would say watch the first one and then watch this one right after.
Yeah, and then watch, like, the third one, because why not?
Or don't watch the third one. It's terrible. That's why I kind of...
If you're... Look, in for a penny, in for a pound, that's what I say. You might as well.
Do whatever you want. But that's the Bad News Bears and Breaking Training. It's been deuced. So let's go ahead.
Also, folks, just remember, so you can catch us at thedeucepodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. So make sure you subscribe, download, whatever. We love to see new listeners. So tell your friends, tell everybody, and then keep those suggestions coming. We have a couple other baseball movies coming up in this series.
I think we got the Sandlot 2 coming up.
So the Sandlot 2 coming up, and then after that,
Major League 2, hopefully.
Yep, and we'll have a special guest.
Special guest for that one, so things are going pretty good. So this is the first of our three baseball movies.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we didn't strike out on this one. So see what I did there, folks? Put me in, coach. All right, you've been deuced. Have a good one.
Deuces.